Welcome to Prague Will Find a Way, our podcast all about progressive rock. Today we're going to talk about the Cruise to the Edge. I'm Jay Valade.
I'm Jonathan Block.
I'm Tim Taddy.
So we have Tim back for his review of the cruise. John and I did not go on the cruise, but Tim did. We had him back a couple episodes to give us a preview of the cruise, and now he's here to give us a review of the cruise. So yeah. How'd it go?
It was spectacular. This was our sixth Cruise to the Edge, seventh cruise for Prague. We did Prague Nation at Sea in 2014.
And this was April 4th to the 9th this
correct.
Year.
We went to the Dominican Republic and turned around, came through the Bahamas. It was out of Miami, 5 days. And we typically have a VIP package every year. And that means you got to have an upgraded room to get into the VIP situation. And normally we chose what color laminate, and this is important, that we wanted to be.
Yeah.
And this year we put no priority.
Got it.
And so what happened was normally we would end up on the same, which we didn't even realize, on the same laminate situation for priority seating in the main theater with the guys that organized Cruise to the Edge. So we were always in the second row.
Oh, okay.
So we got our laminates the morning of the 4th.
Yeah.
And pull them out of all our credentials out. And you're I green. See row A, seat 15 and 16. Well, every Norwegian cruise ship has what they call the Stardust Theater. It's in the front of the ship. That's their main theater. There's like five boats that are sisters that are all built the same way.
Yep.
And I knew that we were front row, dead center for the first time ever.
Wow.
And now with that comes responsibility.
Of showing up.
Because if you go to something like Robert Fripp and Dave and you're sitting in the front row, you have to sit there and not fall asleep, and interact for 90 minutes. And I have a 38-year-old son who, you know, halfway through Steve Hackett was doing the bobblehead. And I'm like, hey, you got to, you know, they can see you now. If you're in the second row, you right. can kind of duck.
But mad going to be mad.
All right, so
Jonas was just like pointing at him. Anyway. So what was really spectacular for us was that with the gold VIP situation, not only did we have assigned seats for all the headliners at the Stardust, we also had pre-entrance 5 minutes before everybody else.
Got it.
So sound checking in one of the other lounges, they would let just gold in, then silver, then the general public until it was full.
Got it.
So people line up all the way down the ship to see Car Mechanic for the first time ever.
Oh, okay.
We just show up 5 minutes before showtime, just walk by everybody, do this, and go pick wherever we want to sit. So if it's a show that we need to get in and get out maybe in a half hour, we'll find a nice perch somewhere, or we just go right to the front and take seats right in the front.
Right.
Or sit on the floor if they allow people to sit on the floor, or stand. You know, and then the pool stage, which was the only outdoor venue, is just a free-for-all. First come, first serve. Because everybody on the ship can fit in that space.
Right.
So we had pre-boarding on the ship, which is really cool. You know, a ship's officer came and got all the VIP people. There's maybe about 40 or 50 of us.
Okay.
Well in advance of the masses. So we kind of made our way to the front of the line in the morning. Got on the boat maybe an hour and a half before everybody else, and they told us, you know, we could go get our drink package or we could go this or that, and we knew the ship like the back of our hand, so we went to our room, dropped stuff off, even though you're not supposed to. Then we went to a private dining hall for a early lunch, and then at about 2 o'clock, Magic Pie was already set up. This boat was already outfitted with stages and PAs because there were three cruises prior. typically we've gone on these cruises where it takes them all day to build the stage, so nothing really happens the first day.
But this one, you had like a full day.
Monsters of Rock were on this, and there was a you know, R&B cruise prior, so everything was all set. And this, they put a lot of money into the equipment this time around.
So day one is the day you get on the...
Yeah, we get on the boat, and we don't set sail till 4 o'clock. So everybody's on the boat at 1, 2, you know, trickling in, 3, 4. 4 o'clock, we shove off.
So they don't... Anybody playing
yeah,
that
so
day?
Magic Pie at 2 o'clock. If you, oh, so okay. I brought schedules. So Magic Pie at 1:45. So 1:45, Magic Pie is playing at the Stardust Theater.
And then that's it. And then you take off, and then the cruise really starts.
Everybody comes out for a big sail away photo, and then we start going out of Miami Port. And Saga was the...
Okay. How were they?
They're great.
All right.
New guitarist. That's a different story, but... You know. Huh? Yeah, I got a young guy.
What happened to Ian?
I don't know. Huh. But Marco immediately, he loves Saga, ironically, because he heard him last year in 2024, and he's like, now this band knows how to play prog. Like, he even looked at Ian and said, Eddie Van Halen must have learned from him. So I don't know what the story is.
Okay.
So the guy was pretty good. But we had a couple rocky days. We're not prone to... seasickness or anything, but the boat was moving around all the way, very windy, all the way out past Hispaniola and Cuba and everything. Fortunately, when we turned around to go back, it was nice and flat for the last 3 days. But but a lot of people were a little uncomfortable. A lot of musicians are having problems with balance, right? One of the things that has kind of bothered me the last two cruises is that they're adding headliners, and what happens is the headliners, half the people have green, half the people have orange or red and blue, whatever the color of Del Dia, Del Año, whatever. And so you go to the show, they're playing for an hour and a half, it's roughly 100 minutes. Well, two nights later, the other half of the people go see them. They're playing the same set.
Yeah.
So you're only getting to see, like, 2026, I would only see Marillion one time.
Yes.
Unless I could sneak in to their second show, but they're going to do the same set list. So that is kind of for me, a pet peeve, because a lot of bands, I think, have like Haken could be a headliner, but they want to do two sets. They want to be out at the pool stage and do some covers, you know?
Yeah, but in doing that, you don't miss out on something.
Correct.
As a green or an orange, you get to see the show.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you only get to see one. I only get to see.
But if they're repeating the exact same show, then you don't miss out on it.
Right, but if they did one show in the theater and the other on the pool stage or another one of the lounges.
But then they'd have to do three shows because they'd have to.
Well, yeah, you're right. I don't know. They're
not paying them enough.
Apparently not.
All right. So anyway.
Yeah.
So you go. You saw Saga. Then you skipped Rick Wakeman.
We didn't skip him. We missed his show thanks to our green
lamp. Did you go to the IQ Q&A?
I did not.
Okay.
I just wanted to see them. I didn't want to talk to them.
That's cool.
But I wanted to get my schedule out here. So we were on a photo. We saw Saga. We went to Thank You Scientist, first of all, one of my favorite bands of all time, and brand new singer, debuted, first time ever. Damien actually had an iPad because he needed to know the lyrics and was super nervous. We were there for the sound check because the trumpeter is a good friend, Joe Galace, and Tommy Monda, one of the best prog guitarists on the planet. And the band is just so tight. And it was going to be interesting to see how Damien was going to fill Sal's shoes, because Sal's voice is very, very unique, distinct, completely different, more John Anderson-ish voice.
Okay.
But he's also a showman. You know, he's running around, jumping around. He took his shirt off, and he was just having fun. He was having fun out there, right? A nice Jersey boy. And his debut was spectacular. I took some video, sent it to the dads of the band.
Oh, that's cool.
And we just, when the show ended, we just happened to be walking through the middle of the ship. It's called the atrium, where the, in the lobby of the boat, you know, when you first get, where the concierge and all that stuff. And there's a stage there that was just a rotating stage. And this Gabriel Agudo was playing.
And who is that?
And he was, I did some backup work with Steve Hackett.
Okay.
So we hear this and we're like, this sounds really good. But it sounds really familiar. And it's Eric Gillette, Nick Beggs, Craig Blundell, and Gabriel on guitar, but next to, Randy McStein, I think, sat in too for a couple songs.
Wow.
Just, it was prog, and it was spectacular. The guy is so good. Then we went out, so now 7:30, we go, it was kind of happening at the same time. We went to get a little food in between, go out to the pool stage, and now it's 7:30 at night, so we're at full sail in the Atlantic. It's windy, breezy, like almost to a fault. Like, I got pictures where you just hear the whirring of wind, and we got like hoodies on, and it's really cool.
How is the band, Van Hertzen Brothers?
Yes, well, they are high energy and a tight,
even in the
Finnish
wind.
Band, not German, and so it was fun to get out in the open water and see a great band. And then we shot down to the Spinnaker for the debut of Car Mechanic with Jonas Reingold, his band, but he was star-studded. This was the Steven Wilson band, and others, and the Steve Hackett band with Jonas on bass.
Okay.
And Casey McPherson did all the singing because John Mitchell wasn't on board the boat, but he did the new Car Mechanic album. He was the vocalist.
Right, because he was touring with Asia and the arena.
John Mitchell is in everything.
I have a music crush on that guy, So Car Mechanic, without a doubt, one of the best sets on board the boat. Obviously I have an affinity toward it because on the last podcast I had mentioned that to me it was one of the new Car Mechanic album. Transmutation is one of the best albums of the year.
And all right. I'm going to have to give it a listen.
And so
I stopped listening to anything to get to know Leprous, which I didn't get to go to the show. So I was listening to Leprous for like 3 weeks straight. And
it's funny that you say that because the new Leprous album is the most accessible.
Oh, no, I downloaded their set list and I listened to the set list. There you go.
Yeah, well, a lot of it was Atonement, but so I digress. So we did Kairos, a little bit of them. We went to Late Night, and what Late Night used to be is. And I had...
So no Jazz Sabbath.
No, we missed
that. Would have liked to see that.
Yeah. We heard them. We kind of went by them.
And they're playing movies, too? Heavy metal?
There's a movie when you walk through the lobby.
Yes, songs.
Yeah. There's a lobby when you're walking through the lobby.
Okay. All right.
We were actually going to go watch Yes Songs.
Yeah, I got some questions about
that. And then Haken didn't really come out till midnight. And... I think it was later than that. Because they're perfectionists. And it was... They just blew our minds. I mean, they didn't do... The last time they were on the boat in 2024, they did the new album in its entirety, and then they came back and did some standards, the second set at the pool. They mixed up... It was a mixed bag. It was a spectacular set. Obviously, it was great to be in the front row because I took a lot of photos. I took some video. At the end of the... It was maybe 1:30. I could look on the phone because everything's time-stamped. Probably about 1:40 in the morning. And, Holy cow. They played Visions for 25 minutes. And then we had a sing-along.
That's a long day.
It was awesome. So, yeah, we had music from... Well, Marvin played
people are falling asleep. Marvin, Steve Hackett.
I failed to mention that when we got into the terminal at like 9:30 in the morning, Marvin, they took all their instruments out and they were just jamming for everybody. So we started listening to music at 9:45 in the morning till 2 the next morning.
Oh my Lord. And we haven't even hit day 2 yet.
No, so late night
podcast will be 4 episodes.
I'll be very quick. I'm going to cover 5 things in...
Yeah, because I have a lot of questions.
Okay. All right, day two.
Day two. So day two. First of all, Late Night Live is passengers who have... Late Night Live is passengers who have signed up in advance to play songs together. So you're on guitar, I'm on drums, he's on bass.
Now, have they brought their own instruments?
They brought their own instruments.
Wow.
And okay, and you've auditioned for the whole year with, okay, you know, like, right. I pick you as my guitarist because I'm doing Owner of a Lonely Heart, or I'm doing, like, when I played,
I'll wait for a different tune.
Carry On Wayward Son, you know, whatever. You know,
okay,
Eric Carr's tune.
Really?
You play anything you want. Really? Anyway, and a lot of the professional musicians
did you play?
Oh, wow. No, I didn't sign up for any of that stuff. So day two, Nick DiVergilio, Neil Morse.
Okay, hold on. There's stuff that went on the morning. So you're not doing the Rockstar Paint class?
I'm not doing
that. Okay.
But you did the Big Train Q&A.
Yeah, Big Train
Just
Q&A.
Just dropped in for that because I love them.
The Rockstar Paint class was Yes Album Art.
Right. First of all, I don't paint. Okay. And second of all, I'm not paying $100 extra dollars to be indoors painting something.
Right. Painting a Yes
This
album.
Isn't sip and paint.
Roger Dean wasn't on the tour.
Not this time. No. But
Roger Dean.
See, that's the thing. If Roger Dean, because he has been on the ship,
was teaching people how to paint, yes.
That's $100. That's worth $100.
Crap.
You suck. Get out. Out.
Off the ship.
You call that art?
All right. So, anyway, the first thing I did that day was at noon. We saw DiVergilio, Morse, and Ross Jennings, and they're a super acoustic guys. They got two albums out now, and Nick's on a cajon. The two of them are playing guitars. Ross Jennings he's really good. He's a good guitarist. Mm-hmm. Obviously, all three of them sing. So it's just a kind of they did
That's
a couple.
Steve Morse,
Neil
Morse. Okay, yeah. I didn't. You just said Morse.
The king of song himself. So,
well, you said playing guitar, so I thought...
Yeah,
Dixie Dregs, that's the other band, the Aristocrats. I kept trying to think of, like, the Aristocrats, because I'm always saying Brand X, Brand X, but it's also Dixie Dregs. It's that whole thing. Okay, anyways.
Anyway.
That was the last episode.
Sans Violin. Sans Violin.
Well, you know, there's four people.
So anyway...
Neil Morse, is this the only band he's playing in on this tour?
So,
on this...
Saddle, yes, because the night before
eight
the
more days
we didn't
to
get
talk
to the
about.
Night before the cruise.
We have a month of cruise.
No,
a month of Prague.
No, so the night before was a private party, not private party. If you had a ticket to the ship, you could go to Magic City Casino, and Neil Morse's new band played.
Is that Thursday?
Thursday night
before
and
the
cruise. And we got delayed out of New Haven, so by the time we landed...
Did you take a velo?
A velo.
Yeah,
yes.
How was it?
It's always good. But
hashtag Avello.
But if there's fog, it's a short runway, they can't land.
Got it.
We had like a 4-hour delay. By the time we landed and got to Miami, we missed it.
Okay, so.
But Robert Fripp and David Singleton, Q&A, how was that?
It was brief. We made sure we didn't go to our front row seats because I knew that my shipmate wasn't going to want to sit in the front row and listen to a couple guys
chatting
about.
Right.
So we kind of sat in the back. I took some pictures to prove to Mr.
that he actually did, that Fripp actually did show up.
That
on the
he was actually there talking. And we picked up on a little bit about how he was suggesting, and this is kind of a funny thing, because he was suggesting that he wrote a lot of the Knacks music,
really?
And that they had, you know, ripped him off. And so when we left, the first thing out of my son's mouth is, of course, it's what every musician says. I wrote that. You stole it. Yeah, so... I said,
wow.
Yeah, I've never heard that one.
And
before.
So I said,
did he say he was working with the Knack and then he never got any credit?
We were asleep
okay.
at that point.
Because he's still in this thing with Bowie's estate about getting credit for Heroes.
That's right.
Well, he did get credit. Right after Bowie died, they sold when the catalogs were sold or something. The credits had changed.
Yeah, and he wants to be featured performer because you get a royalty for featured performer.
Right,
he was not listed as a featured performer.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
It was something along those lines. I don't know the
like you would never think this, but I mean, a lot of the bands from that era were in prog bands. So the drummer for the Knack was. It's escaping me who he played with, but he played with known prog people. He was
And Fripp was all over New York City at that time with Blondie and
well,
and
yeah, whoever, 70, you know, so. 78 through yeah. and through 79.
So he might have been in that those
could have very well, but yeah. I've never heard that before. That's a Cruise only exclusive.
And my Toya doesn't sound like my Sharona.
there you go. My LaToya. I think it's the same beat though.
Anyway, so how was that?
A lot of what we didn't hear when we started talking to other people was, again, I've seen it on YouTube where he just talks about the Bruford experience and, you know, how Bill kind of helped keep them together. And also kept them apart because, you know, and I've heard him say this so many times and having played the drums, not being like a true drummer, but that blame the drummer for everything because, you know, you didn't know what Bill was going to show up today.
Right.
So we just had to worry because that show, he was horrendous. But three nights later, right, he played some great chops. It's like, okay, Bob, please. Just tell him to pick his kid up and go home. And bring in, you know, Master Leto. Bring Pat in.
Well, that's why he has three drummers on the last. Yeah. So that if one of them didn't show up, other two could.
You know, one thing about him is that I didn't realize this, is that he relied on Gavin Harrison for a lot of things on that last tour.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, like who should we bring in? I want to put the rhythm section front and center. He wanted things to be a little more, you know, polyrhythms, and they got into some good stuff. So anyway, so Pure Reason Revolution.
Oh, but you
first time ever.
Wait, you skipped the Beg Sisters. I don't care about
Beg Sisters.
That was a walkthrough as well.
Yeah, you're walking right through the middle of the thing. And it's Nick Beggs' two cute daughters with. Acoustic guitars.
Okay.
And so do the math. There's not a single thing that they do that's prog. And he is star-studded in a zoot suit, literally like with sequins, on a stand-up bass playing with his daughters. It was rough.
It was rough.
I love Nick Beggs, and you know that. But so anyway, forget about the photo thing.
All right. Reason Revolution.
I mean... You turned me on to them.
Yeah.
And I could never get enough of them. The new album I love, and they have a new girl.
How's the new singer?
Annika.
Yeah, I don't know Annika. Her name.
She plays the keys very well, and the band is just, the sound is so unique.
Did they play a lot from the first
album?
They
did. And it was outdoors. It was beautiful. You're cruising along at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, open seas, and they just lit it up. They were heavy. They were tight, and just, you know, Marco had never heard them, and he's like, "Okay, I get it now. I get why you like this because they're like leprous, and it's here, and then it just goes to, you know, 11."
I really like their first two albums. Their last two albums I like, but I haven't like gotten into like I did the first two albums.
Yeah. So then we had to do Wheel of Prog because if you watch Roy Avin, who does the Prog Report, he does on his show, he does this Wheel of Prog. He'll bring in Stephen Wilson or Mike Portnoy. He'll bring in a star and they'll spin the wheel and it's like, you know, 10 best... Prog albums of the 70s.
Oh, and then so he...
And so he's got he had a panel of guys like from Caligula's Horse and
whoever.
And Big Big Train. And
he spins the wheel.
And he's got the wheel on a computer, and then they have to draft prog album of okay. the '70s. You know, so Close to the Edge. Somebody made it like A, B. You have your A, your B, your C, your D, and obviously then when, for example, when C's three, there's 12 albums, okay, and four guys, and so you put a specific album in your C slot. I put one in my C slot. You also do. Then you can bump somebody's up or down to get, you know, the point is we're going to try to determine what the best prog album of the 70s was or 80s or 90s.
So what was it?
It wasn't Close to the Edge.
Well, then what's next? Move on.
So he did this twice. He did this twice.
Oh, hold on. What about the... you had to wait till the middle of the second day for your goodie bag?
Yeah, so he...
Why?
I don't know.
Isn't that weird? Like, what's in it?
It's always like that.
Okay.
You get,
all the schedules were in it, and like you're halfway through.
The schedules are on your, okay. you know, on your bed. But
goodie bag is your swag.
It's this. It's okay. this. It's this.
Okay.
But this is on you at all times.
Right, has to.
And
be.
If you're just a regular person, all the VIP people had these things. But then it was a mix and meet and greet. We didn't meet anybody. We didn't greet anybody. We went in there. We get our stuff and we move on.
All right.
You get a free cheesy drink.
So you didn't go to Yes.
Scornful.
No, I don't even think it was on. I don't even think they actually turned it on.
What?
Well, they did, but the film's so dark that it probably looked like that's it was night.
Well, we didn't go because IQ was playing on the pool stage, and first time I've ever seen IQ. And
so did you do IQ and then like ditch and go to Steve Hackett? Because you circled them all.
No, we walked in at the back. Got so, because it was opposite our color.
Oh,
so
got it.
And so what happens there is that...
So this is the updated schedule, not this, because this had IQ playing at 9 p.m. at the pool
stage.
Yeah,
they flip-flopped them. Okay. Sorry. They flip-flopped them.
Just ask.
So you went to IQ, you went to Steve Hackett orange.
How's IQ? How were they?
They were so good.
Yeah.
They were so good. It's just...
What did they play?
Well, they opened with Frequency.
Okay.
They did. They didn't do any of the new album.
What?
It was so.
Wow, that's bizarre.
Yeah, they didn't. I think because they hadn't played for anybody like us ever before.
Oh, okay.
They just did back catalog stuff, and that was I'm fine with it. Marco had only known, and they didn't do anything to Road Bone. They didn't do any of that.
Ah.
I was like, come on. I mean, there's such great grooves on that album.
So they were like, this is our first time ever playing to these people. We're going to hit the highlights.
Essentially outside of England. Then,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So,
all right. So okay. Then Steve Hackett, you hit the back because you were going to go see him later anyway.
Yeah, we're going to be front row. So it was just like,
Von Herzen Brothers, again, that's all within 15 minutes.
Yeah. You're dropping in. You're just checking shit out.
So IQ, you were just checking
Then we do like a long dinner kind of thing because we weren't doing the Casey McPherson thing. That was another couple $100 as a charity thing.
Got it.
And everybody was playing with them and doing little sing-songy stuff. Dropped into Kirzner for about an hour.
Gabriel.
And then Gabriel again, because his guy is
same group?
So good. Yeah, same guy.
Same people
dropping
playing.
In.
Okay.
And then Riverside, 10:15. They were on time. One of my favorite bands, and so it was really cool to be right there. Marius Duda, one of the best prog musicians on the planet, but it was an eerie feeling having seen them so many times. I've probably seen them 10 times, but it was just a different setup, and he seemed like all business, no pleasure.
It's like I'm getting this is a paid gig, not a fun gig.
So after the second, at the end of their set, which, and even Marco said, was probably the best Riverside, they played at Toads, by the way, probably the best Riverside set ever, because the set list was tight. They played really well, but halfway through the show that we were at, the drummer was obviously controlling the click, and he throws in, he hits a button for, and you hear the overdubs for the beginning of Landmine Blast.
Oops.
And Marius looks back and he stops it and he goes, "Fucking drummer." So we were like, whoa. So at the end of the show, they finish with a long epic tune of theirs, and each guy stops playing and walks off, and then the other guys are still out there. Then Marius takes his bass, he walks off, drummer walks off, keyboardist walks off, and you're like, what just happened? Two nights later, same thing, same vibe, and I hear from a couple guys, they said, it's over. I'm like, what's over? Riverside.
Oh, really?
Huh. Apparently, each one of them came out and separately bowed to the crowd. And Marius said, we're gonna take a break for a while.
Wow.
Like Devin Townsend just announced. He's done.
All right.
So I was like, all right, no Riverside. But
all right.
So that was kind of eerie. But again, day two, not as busy as day one.
This is day three now. I already turned.
Okay, so that was day two. Why don't we stop here? Because we're getting really long. And we have two more days to tackle.
Three.
So three? No, there's two more days.
Three more days.
Okay. Well,
the last day will be
quick. We did. Well, no, we also did all the beforehand stuff. Yeah. So, all right. Join us again next time for days 3, 4, and 5. Recap of
Cruise to the Edge. Probably find a way.
If you want it to.